It's a wonderful time of year, and it's a time when we can feel joy, and it's a very positive thing. There are sometimes things that get in the way of that, and this morning I'd like for us to think in terms of where we find true joy, because I think that's useful and beneficial. I've shared with you before that when I was growing up, I used to spend summers with my grandfather, and my grandparents had a working farm, and so by the time I was 14, I knew how to drive just about everything on the farm and could actually drive on the roads. My older cousins were allowed to drive on the roads. My grandfather was a man of few words, and we would leave the farm. He'd pull out onto the dirt road in this little country town, and my grandfather would say, "Just keep it between the fence posts." Those are his boundaries, you know, and often the person driving didn't do much more than that, you know. Fortunately, there wasn't a whole lot there. Boundaries are critical in our lives. We got to have boundaries. We need boundaries. John Cloud and Henry Thompson have become famous for their teaching about boundaries. Seems like there's an endless number of applications to what they are sharing. And what they're sharing is personal boundaries. Now, we can think in terms of boundaries in a geopolitical sense, and nations have boundaries. There's cities, boundaries, physical boundaries that exist there. But today, as we think about, or as focusing on boundaries, I'd like for us to move more into the personal level. And the next slide is the one that would show those seven types of personal boundaries. Our physical boundaries, our sexual boundaries, our emotional and mental boundaries, our spiritual and religious boundaries, our financial and material boundaries, time boundaries, and last but not least, the non-negotiable boundaries. It's things that you say, no, that's not going to happen in my life. It's not going to be a part of a relationship that I have. And so we look at those things, and we look at these two doctors that I mentioned earlier. Why are they so popular? Well, they're popular because people have come to the place where they understand that they're happier if they can maintain their personal boundaries. The more you can adhere to those boundaries that you have, once you develop them, once you initiate them, if you can maintain them, then you're going to be happy. And that's why they sell so much material, because people are looking for that. They want that, and they need that, certainly in their lives. Now, in religion and the spiritual, there are a lot of people in the secular world who look at God and look at religion and say, well, religion is just something to keep you from having the things you really want in life. And it's about no, 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 and you can't have what you really truly want and desire. And yet, when we look carefully at the boundaries, what we come to understand is God has given us information to protect us in our joy and happiness. He has limited us through boundaries, because once we get beyond the boundaries, when we get outside of the boundaries, we don't have the happiness that we're looking for. Instead, we have a totally different kind of experience. And so I think it's useful and beneficial for us to look at boundaries, to understand that boundaries empower us, they protect us, but most importantly, they define an area that allows us to live in such a way that we can be happy and complete people. In the Bible, there are references to things called boundary stones, where people would erect a stone to mean a certain thing. And when you think about that, you probably think back to Genesis chapter 31, when Jacob left Laban's house, and Laban followed him, chased him, and ultimately they stop and they kind of work things out. But in verse 45, it says, "So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. He said to his relatives, 'Gather some stones.' So they took stones and piled them in a heap, and they ate there by the heap." And then later on in that chapter, down in verse 51, it says, "Laban also said to Jacob, 'Here is this heap, and here is this pillar I have set up between you and me. This heap is a witness and this pillar is a witness that I will not go past this heap to your side to harm you, and that you will not go past this heap and pillar to my side to harm me. It's a boundary stone. You won't come past this to hurt me, and I won't come past that to hurt you. The old saying, good fences make good neighbors. It's a boundary that's there, and sometimes those boundaries can get blurred. And when the boundaries get blurred, there's frequently confusion and various kinds of things. We're really talking about the joy of obedience. When we're obedient to God, when we're living within his boundaries, then we really find the life that is truly life, that we can be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We can do that. I remember when I was a boy, I was about 9 or 10 years old. It was a dull summer day. There weren't enough guys to get a ball game together. And so one of the guys said, I know where a rattlesnake den is. He says, let's go up there and see if we can catch some rattlesnakes. Didn't sound real fun to me. But I wasn't going to say, you know, I don't want to go catch rattlesnakes. So I went in the house, I'm digging around in my closet, trying to find my canteen and a knapsack and various kinds of things, making lots of noise. My mother comes in and says, what are you doing? I said, we're going rattlesnake catching. She says, no, you're not. I got to go back out there and go, sorry guys, my mom won't let me go. I didn't want to go. I was glad that mom said, you can't go rattlesnake hunting. And God does the same thing to us. He gives us the opportunity to say, I can't do that. You know, Satan loves to play the what-if game with us, especially at night when you lay your head on your pillow. You know, what are those scenarios that various kind of things can work out? Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When Satan says, what if? We say, I can't play that game. My father said that I can't play. My father says to leave tomorrow to tomorrow and to not worry about that. And so there's a lot of comfort that can come through that very strong exposure. Boundaries give us structure. Psalms 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And we use that in a family context, and certainly it's applicable there. But the boundaries that God places in our life literally are the structure that we hang everything on. It's the meat. It's the skeleton. It's what holds everything together. And then we have the opportunity to make applications from there. And the reality of it is we get freedom in that process. I've shared this story with you before, but I'll share it with you again because it illustrates the point so well. There was a research study done in the late 50s. It was about children and playgrounds. And people said, you know, most of the schools at that particular point in time had a fence around the schools. And there were people arguing, saying, you know, the fences are restrictive. And the children need to have not this feeling of being fenced in. And so these researchers began to do some research in that area, and they took the fences down. And what they found was when you took the fences down, the kids all hung around the doors of the school building. They didn't go and play on the equipment. But when you put the fences back up, they used the entire schoolyard. Well, I think the parallel is real strong for us as Christians as well. When we don't really know what the boundaries are, when we really don't know where it's safe, when we really don't know what behaviors are proper, we don't know what to do. We just kind of hang around the entrance. But when God says, no, these are the boundaries, then we get to use all of that space. And what that really does for us is it increases our freedom instead of limiting and holding our freedom back. David, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, I'm going to read only the first verse of that because you know the story. It says, in the spring at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. Now, this is the Bathsheba chapter. David one spring says, you know, I've been doing a lot of fighting, and I kind of like to take this year off. Joab is a capable commander. The troops are well trained. They'll do just fine without me. And so I'm just going to hang around here and enjoy the freedom of being king of Israel. Well, we know what happens. David, in his freedom, indulges himself to the point of spying, indulges himself to the point of having Bathsheba brought to him, indulges himself to the point of killing her husband to cover up what he's done. And when this is all over, is David celebrating his freedom? Is he a man of joy? Is he a man of happiness in that situation? Psalms chapter 51, passage that we know well, starting in verse 8. David says, "Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me." Those words, those agonizing words of David are reflecting how he feels. He feels horrible. He feels terrible. And the reason he feels so bad is because he's gone outside of God's boundaries. And he's really having a crisis in trying to understand, is it even possible for me to get back to where I want and need and desire to be? I want to feel joy. And I can't because of the things I've done, the things I am doing in my life. Let's go back one. I missed this one. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. You know, Moses made a choice. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Go ahead. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. King James calls it the momentary pleasures of sin. And that's what we all understand. Satan comes along and he dangles something in front of us and says, "This is going to really be fun. This is going to make you happy." And we know that the happiness that we experience is only going to be momentary. It's only going to be temporary. It's only going to last for a second. And then the hook is there. And then we're trapped. And then we're caught. And then we're overwhelmed with this pain. And we're like David, saying, "I want to get back. How do I get back? Will I ever fully and completely be back?" And that's the situation that we deal with Satan with all the time. He's constantly trying to lead us into those places where he can get a hook in us. And God says to us, just stay where I've put you. Just stay within my boundaries. And it'll be okay. Well, how do we know those boundaries? David knew them. Psalms chapter 19. Verse 9, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." And in Psalms 119, verse 111, "Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart." What's David talking about? He's talking about God's word. He's talking about God's teaching. He's talking about the things that he had learned, that God had provided. And he says, these things are the right things. These things are the pure things. These are the things that will bring joy into my life. True joy is only found inside of God's boundaries. And when we find ourselves being confused, when we find ourselves in situations where we aren't joyful, We need to at least look and see, am I outside of God's boundaries? Is my behavior outside of the consequences? Is it bringing me these consequences into my life? Is there a fundamental change that needs to take place in my core so that I can again have the joy that I'd like to have? You know, this is the time of year when we experience some things that are really pure joy. Being with family, sharing family, sharing love, sharing with people who perhaps don't have as much as we have, experiencing goodwill and a lot of positive interactions. And it ought to teach us that, you know, when we do those things that God wants us to do, when we do go to the things that God leads us to do, it feels right and it feels good. Why do we move away from those things? To find our real calling and our real purpose, therefore we find our true joy. Two more passages. From Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We want to be led by the Spirit. We want the Spirit to show us where we ought to be. We want the Spirit to correct us when we get off course. And all those things are possible and real, and those things happen if we're willing to submit to the leadership of the Spirit in our submission to God. May the God of hope, this is Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what we really want? Isn't that the thing that really matters to us in this life? Isn't that the experience we'd really like to have? We only get that experience through our willingness to follow our God. There was a movie back in the 1950s, the late 50s, called God's Little Acre. If you're familiar with that movie, it was this large farm, I believe it was in Georgia. The family believed that one, their grandfather, had hidden gold on the farm. And so there were people who were in the family who undertook the task of finding the gold. The grandfather had also reserved 1 acre of that land, But when they were hunting for gold, they were terribly afraid that they were going to find the gold on God's acre. So if you've seen or read the book, you know what they do is they move God's little acre all over the place. Because it might be the wrong place, and we don't want to dig up the gold and find it on God's acre. And that's kind of what we sometimes do in our lives. You know, we say, oh, yeah, there's God, and yes, I believe in God, and I want to sacrifice to God, I want to be submissive to God, and this part of my life is God's, and the rest is mine. And when those two start to conflict, we go, oh, well, I'll move God's part over here, because we want to keep what's ours and experience out what's ours. And then we look up and say, I'm not happy. Why not? Why not? Has to do with the priority that we've given God in our life and the placement of those things that are so critical. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for all you've blessed us with. Father, we thank you for the joy of family. We thank you for the structure that you've provided in our lives. We thank you for the word that tells us how we can be obedient and how we can find the things that truly matter in this life. Father, we know that Satan is constantly trying to lead us away and lead us outside of your boundaries. Father, we pray that we might learn them, that we might uphold them, that we might keep them, and we might dedicate ourselves to them. Because we know, Father, that that's the best place for us to be, not just for this life, but for the life that is to come. We thank you for the information that we have, and we pray for the strength and courage. We pray that we can follow the Spirit. And Father, we know that there are times when we move beyond those boundaries, and we pray that you would forgive us of that multitude of mistakes. We pray this through your precious Son. Amen. If this morning you find yourself in a place where your relationship with God is not what it ought to be, we would encourage you to make changes. You may need to do that personally. You may need to do that privately. You may need to do that publicly. And if you need to do it publicly, we'd be glad to help you with it while we stand and sing this song together.